All desire to follow Christ. Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. The children of Israel, as we saw last week, they were just moments from either being killed or being dragged back as slaves back into Egypt. They were there near the Red Sea. They were stuck. There was nowhere else they could go. Behind them, they had the Egyptians who were coming, and they were just scared to death. This was probably one of the most hair-raising scenes in all of the Scripture. You can just imagine the adrenaline pumping as they're not sure what's going to take place. They're nervous. They're concerned. And as they are there complaining to Moses, why in the world did you bring us here to die? It would have been better for us to be back as slaves in Egypt. And if you recall, God said to Moses, lift up your arms. The Red Sea parted. They went across on dry ground. But here come the Egyptians. And they get halfway through. God takes off their chariot wheels. Now they're scared to death. They start heading back, and God put the waters back on them. And the Hebrews, now along the banks of the Red Sea, now on the other side of it, now they see all of these dead bodies floating. It's a reminder that God wasn't nervous, was he? God knew exactly what he was doing, and it was just a matter of trusting him. And as I mentioned last week, they should never have doubted ever what God would do in their lives. But we get to chapter 15. Chapter 15, we see Moses' song. He rejoices and praises God, and the people listen and are excited about what God did and how powerful God is. And then we get down to verse number 22. Didn't take long. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now there's a crisis once again. Because how many days can you go without water before you die? 3 days. 3 days without water, and they're without water. Fortunately, they come to a place where they see some water. They come to Marah. There's water. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, that was the name of it, called Marah, or bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning as folks who are similar to the Hebrews back in that day. Often it's, what have you done for me lately? And yet, Lord, if we were to be honest, we could certainly all look back to some miracles that you've done in our lives. Things that you have done that have been so amazing that we should never, ever question you or doubt you again. But, Lord, we often complain. We often murmur. And, Lord, so as we look at this text this morning, I trust that you would help us not to just see your irritation with what they were doing, but may we see the irritation of what I do, of what we do, as your people, who not only have watched miracles in our lives, but we have given truth to the fact that the Word of God is a book filled with miracles. And so, Lord, may we never doubt you again. Teach us, Lord, what it is you want us to learn this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Title is Stop Complaining. You ever complain? We all do, don't we? How many here think it's a little too warm in here this morning? How many think it's a little too cold in here this morning? You see, we can't please everybody, right? No matter what we do. Last Sunday, I had people doing this all service. And then somebody went out and said, you can't keep it this cold in here. You know, it's impossible because we are all different in various ways. In everything we do, some are excited about fall, and some are dreading fall. and the summer or the winter, summer being over, winter coming in. And yet, those are minor things when compared to this, because here's the Hebrews. They just watched 3 days before. They watched God open the waters. They walked through. God closed the waters. The Hebrews are dead. They're right there 3 days later. They're following the cloud, following the fire. They're exactly where they know God wants them to be. And what happens? We're thirsty, Moses. What are we going to drink? And Moses is like, well, I got a little bit of water. No. Moses is like, why are you asking me? I don't have any water. You know, what do you mean, what are we going to drink? I don't know. All I know is I'm following the cloud. You're following me, and I believe that God's not going to let us die here. I believe that. But they murmured. They grumbled. They complained. But look at verse 25. What did Moses do? Verse 24, and the people murmured. Verse 25, and Moses prayed. See that? He cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. Notice this last phrase. And there he, what? He proved them. See, this wasn't a mistake. If, in fact, God didn't get 3 days in there when they start complaining and they say, where's the water from? And God didn't say, oh, that's right, you need water. You see, I don't need water. I didn't think about that. He didn't do that. You see, God had a plan for them, and the plan was, I'm going to get you to the point where you realize that you can't do this and you will die without me. And so they go 3 days. There's no water. The human reaction, the normal human reaction when a problem comes in our life, it's normal to murmur and complain. It is spiritual to pray. Think about the last time you had a problem. The last time you had a problem, what did you do? Did you murmur? Did you complain to God? Did you get upset with God? Did you get frustrated with the problem? Or did you immediately say, I've got a problem, I'm going to go to prayer. I need help, God, because I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what your plan is. I don't know what you want to teach me through this problem. So I'm going to come to you in prayer. And we see that through all the book of Exodus. We see that with Moses. The people constantly complained, and he constantly prays. Was it just because he just knew how to do that better than others? No, he just chose to do it. I'm sure there were days in his life when he was thinking, because when he cries to the Lord, I think he said, all right, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm trusting you. What's the next step? And God said, well, you see that tree? Yeah. I want you to take that tree and cut it down. Okay, and then what? And then take that tree and cast it into the water that is bitter. I don't know for you what you would do, but I'd be thinking, isn't there an easier way? Like, couldn't you just like let me wave my rod and it'd be like, I gotta cut the tree? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Exactly. That's how I work, Moses. And so he cuts the tree down. They take it, they cast it into the water, and the people said, well, now what? Well, now you drink it. Well, who's gonna trust that? Well, they did. They drank it, and now it's a perfectly wonderful body of water for them to drink from. And it was there that God proved them. It was there that God put them to a test. And unfortunately, they failed that test. Just like when you're in school, when you fail a test or you fail a grade, what do? You're going to take that test again. And so that's what God's going to do. He's going to give them that test again. Fortunately, you know, they know that, because that's what their whole life has been, one test after another. And that's what I know. I know when I fail a test, God's going to give me the test again. So I'm prepared, right? Neither are you. We you would think we would. So they failed the test. In verse 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken. Notice he's going to give them four things to do. He said, you failed the test. So let me give you a review of what you should have done, because I'm going to give you the same test again. And God does the same thing to me. God will constantly prove me. For the rest of my life, God's going to prove me. He's going to put me in test. And here's the cheat sheet, God says. You want to pass the next test? Here's the cheat sheet. diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. You want to know what to do next time you're in a trial? Next time you're not sure what God's doing? Next time you're frustrated? Listen diligently to the voice of God. God, what are you trying to teach me? Number two, you need to do that which is right in His sight. Because sometimes we hear what God says and we're like, I don't think I want to do that. And God said, well, then you're going to fail the test again. So not only do you need to diligently listen to the voice of God, but you need to do what God said to do. You need to give ear to His commandments, number three, and you need to keep all His statutes. And then God said, if you do that, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth. I am Jehovah Rophe, the Lord that healeth you. So trust me. And let me just give you some insight, because I'm going to give you the test again. So if you'll do these four things, then the next time you come to a trial or a test that I'm trying to prove you with, you're going to pass it. And you're going to continue to grow in your walk with me. And then God's graciousness here, verse number 27. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water. How many tribes were there? 12 tribes. And there were 70, or there were 70 palm trees. And they encamped by the waters. Where in the world was this resort at? Remember, they're in a desert. And in a desert, they just so happened to find 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. What are the chances? Again, another miraculous thing that God did, that God put it there because He knew they would need it. And I'm so thankful, because there are days that I grumble and I complain, and you know, you would think God would just flick me off the map here, but He doesn't. He is gracious, and then He often puts us in a place where we get refreshment, to get encouragement, and then He says, okay, now that you've rested, we're going to start moving again. Now, there's going to be another test, so pay attention. Keep those four things in mind, because there will be another test. And we're like, got it. I understand. You get to chapter 16, and God gives another test. They took the journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month. The next month later. So they're not, it's not just a couple weeks later, after the departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel did what? Again. How could they not learn? But they murmured again against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by flesh pots, and when we had the bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. How in the world? I mean, we read this, and we scratch our heads, and we think, how could they be so clueless? Like, how could their hearts be that hard? Again, just within the past month, the Red Sea, dead bodies. They're free. They're not slaves anymore. 3 days, they go, and there's no water. They complain, and God gives them the water. Not only does He give them water that's bitter, but He makes the bitter water so they can drink it. And then He gives them 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees, and God just simply keeps telling them, listen, don't forget who I am. I am the Almighty God of the universe. I can do whatever I want to do. I love you. I care about you, and I want to bless your life. But you've got to follow me. You've got to obey me. And if you don't obey me, you're going to have these problems the rest of your life. But if you follow me, I will take you where I want to go. And it's going to be better than you can imagine. And they said, okay, we trust God. Moses, we're never going to doubt you again. We're never going to doubt God again. We're going to follow you. And within a couple of weeks, now there's no food. And now they murmur. And now they complain. And they're ready to kill Moses again. And their response was this. Would to God that we had stayed in Egypt when we had flesh pots. And when we did eat bread to the full, you know what? It was better when we were back in Egypt because we had all we could eat. That's like somebody who just got let out of prison and complaining because they don't have enough to eat. And they said, you know, I wish I was back in prison. At least I had three meals a day. You'd be like, well, wasn't prison pretty bad? Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, it was horrible. But at least I had food. I mean, how silly is that? But that was their whole mindset. Gary read James 1 this morning, a passage that, you know, we're all very, very familiar with, a passage where we've all been reminded, don't ever pray for patience. Because it says in James 1, tribulation works patience. If you ever want to see a Christian who has learned the art of patience, you're going to see somebody who has been through the mill over and over and over in their lives, but they've had to learn it. Because they didn't learn that because they were just naturally a patient person with God. They've learned it because they got to the point where eventually they took that white flag out to God and said, I surrender. You know what? Whatever you want with my life, I'm done fighting you. It's not worth it. I don't know about you, but I haven't gotten that flag yet. Have you? Where we've said to God, you know what, God, you use my life. I'm not going to complain anymore. Whatever you do, whatever trial comes my way, I'm going to trust you because I've learned that lesson. We're not there, which is why sometimes we commiserate with these Hebrews and we think, well, this, you know, God certainly wasn't fair to them, was he? I mean, why in the world would God lead them out of Egypt, promise them the promised land, and then give them no water? That's just not fair. That's not kind. No, it was because God is trying to teach them something. We've heard the old adage, and we know it well, you can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the girl. Well, you know, you can take the Hebrews out of Egypt. It's hard to take Egypt out of the Hebrews. And you know what? Every one of us has the world in our hearts. And God saved us from the world, but it is so hard to get the world out of us, isn't it? We tend to still think worldly. It's a struggle. And so we've got to make that choice. It's a battle every day. Am I going to think worldly or am I going to think godly? And it's a battle. And it is so much easier to think worldly. It is so much easier to complain and murmur than it is to praise. It's easy to murmur. It's easy to look at my trials. It's easy to get up in the morning and you get up and my alarm didn't go off. And boy, if your alarm didn't go off, and now you're late, how many other things are going to go wrong that day? Everything you see, right? Now, is everything going wrong that day? No, it's a perspective that we have. It is how in the world could God let me sleep through too late? Wait a minute. Did God set your alarm or not set your alarm? Did God let the so we like to complain to God, and we murmur, and we complain, and then all we can see is problem after problem after problem after problem. Instead of seeing the hand of God. And I'm not preaching to you as if I don't do that. I do that just like you do that. It's a process that we've got to learn. But again, they go into the wilderness, no food. They murmur. They complain. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Here's the phrase again. That I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Again, God is patient. And I'm thankful God is patient. They go into the wilderness. Now they've got no food, nothing to eat. Evidently, they still had some water. But there's nothing to eat, and they complain and they murmur to God again. And God says to Moses, Moses, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send bread from heaven every day, and every day there's going to be quail for them to eat. Now, did God do that because God said, I'm tired of them complaining. Let me just figure something else out. No, this was his plan. His plan was to give them manna and quail for 40 years. That was the plan. Unfortunately, they complained before God put the plan into place. Imagine if they had just went to Moses and said, Moses, we're not sure what God's doing. We're all hungry. I think we're going to die. But guess what? We learned the lesson back at Marah. We're not going to question God. We're going to trust him. We're going to believe him. He's got something good in mind. I don't know what it is. I can't wait to see it. You know what they would have found? The exact same thing they found. Manna and quail. But unfortunately, they complained a day too soon. And God said to Moses, well, they kind of blew the surprise, but here it is. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them manna every day. Manna is the name of something where they said, we don't know what it is. It's basically, what is it? Or what is this stuff? And it is, I'm going to give it to them. It's going to be coming down from heaven every single day. I'm going to put it there every day. Verse 5, it's going to come to pass on the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they will bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So he said, on the Friday of every week, I want them to gather twice as much as they need for one day, because on Saturday, that's the Sabbath, on Saturday, I don't want them working. So every day, I want them to go out and get enough for that whole day, enough for the, whatever their family needs for that one day, you get it. Some families going to need more than others. You get whatever you need, you bring it in, and you sustain yourself that one day. Don't save any for the next day. Because if you save it, it's going to stink. It's going to have worms. It's going to be disgusting. You're going to be frustrated. Now you got to clean out this thing. It's going to be just a mess, and everybody's going to know what you did. So every day, you're going to have enough for one day. And on the Friday, you're going to have enough for 2 days. So Friday and Saturday, you'll have enough for both of those days. And then next Sunday, you'll go back to work again, and you'll just pick up whatever's there. And God said, I'm going to do this, verse 4, so that I can prove them. I tested them at Marah. I'm going to test them again with the manna. So make sure you're clear. Every day, get enough that you need. On Friday, get enough for 2 days. Don't take any more. Don't take any less. That's what you need to do. Verse 7, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. For he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. Notice this. And what are they? And what are we? Your murmurings are against, not against us, but against the Lord. Wait, that is a stark reminder. When we murmur against our boss, we're often murmuring against God. When we murmur against Washington, who put our leaders in place? We're murmuring against God. Now, it's okay, I believe, to murmur against policies, not murmur against it, but to do our best to help fix the policies, to get our country back to this book. But again, God has put leaders in place, and they are his appointed leaders. As we saw in the Sunday School Hour, not necessarily for our good. Sometimes they are what we deserve, and sometimes they are God's judgment upon a nation because we're not following the word of God. And God wants to shake our country up to get us back to the book. So Moses said, listen, the murmurs are not against us. They're against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying unto the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurs. It came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. What did they say back in verse number 3? Back in verse 3, in Egypt we were able to eat bread to the full. Guess what God said? You know what? You're going to eat bread to the full again, because I care about you. And the end of the verse, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it shall come to pass that at even the quails came up and cover the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing. as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, or what is this? For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Again, God wants us to learn the lessons. God promises to care for their needs. And in the New Testament, God has promised to care for my needs and your needs. He promises he will supply our needs. Here's my problem. I don't know if it's your problem. I get frustrated because God doesn't fulfill all of my wants. God never promised to fulfill my wants. But he did promise to take care of my needs. He did promise that whatever I'm going through the waters, God's going to hold my hand. He's going to go through them with me. He did tell me in Psalm 23 that he will lead me in paths of righteousness, or he will lead me in the right path. I got to keep my eyes on him through this book. I follow him, and he will lead me where he wants me to go. And he doesn't promise it's going to be easy. He doesn't promise it's always going to be pleasant, but he does promise he'll go with me. And that ought to be enough for us. Because I would rather go anywhere with God than anywhere else without God. Because I've learned who he is. And you have as well. But it goes back to trusting him, that I'm going to trust God no matter what. And that's what God said. Back those four things he said. Listen, diligently hearken unto me, do what is right, listen to my commandments, and keep them. Follow me, and I will pour my blessings upon you. But if you reject me, if you do it your way, it's not going to work. So verse number 15, again, they're saying, you know, what is this stuff? We don't know what it is. And Moses said, it's the bread that God promised to give to you. Remember, he promised every day, this is what it is. This is the thing which the Lord had commanded, gather of every morning according to the eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Ye shall take every man for that which is in your tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less, which was okay because some eat more than others, and it was okay. As long as they took what they needed, didn't matter what they needed, as long as they took what they needed, that was okay. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. And he that had gathered had little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. Now hold on there a minute. How hard was this command? It was simply, go take whatever you want. Eat whatever you need. But don't let any stay till the morning. You're getting ready to go to bed at night, and you got a little bit left over, go dump it outside. It's no good. Like, yeah, but it'll still be fresh tomorrow. No, God said you can't keep it till tomorrow. Yeah, but what happens if God doesn't do tomorrow? Therein lies the test. The test was, every day I want you to trust me. I don't want you to trust me for the week. Every day. Notwithstanding, some of them said, yeah, Moses, that's a great plan, but you know what? I don't want to have to do it every day. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get enough for the week. And they gathered a whole bunch. And God says there, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. Why? Because they didn't listen. They wouldn't obey God. They wouldn't trust him. And God said, I want you to trust me. Even reminded them. Remember what happened to Mara? That was a test. You failed. I'm going to give you another test again. So here's the test. The test is, every day you get what you need. By the end of the day, it needs to be gone. Don't save any for the next day. And the next morning you'll get up and you'll do the same thing. And you'll do the same thing every day. Except on Friday you get twice as much because Saturday I'm not going to rain it down. It's a day of rest. You won't have it. And they gathered every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came to Moses and said unto him, this is that which the Lord said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that which ye will seethe, and there which remaineth over, lay up for yourselves to be kept to the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worms therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall ye gather, but on the seventh day it shall be the Sabbath. In it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. Why did they go out on the seventh day? Because some of them didn't believe God. Some of them, they said, you know what, this is happening every single day. You know, it happened last Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't feel like gathering twice as much today. I'm just going to wait till tomorrow because I think it's going to be there. And they didn't trust God. And so they went out on Saturday and there's nothing there. And I'm sure they complained to God and complained to Moses. And they said, why in the world isn't there any here today? And Moses reminded them, God promised what he was going to do. And it was a test. And here it was. It was a very clear indication of what they were supposed to do. Very, very simple. All you got to do is listen to God and obey him. And yet many of the people took too much and saved it. And many of the people didn't take enough on Friday. And on Saturday, there was nothing to be found. And they tried to complain to God. But it was very simple. And you know, we look at our lives and we say, man, I wish my tests were that simple. In reality, when we boil our problems down, now our problems aren't the same. No two people have the exact same problems. But every one of us has the same issue. It comes down to trusting God daily. It doesn't come down to trusting God weekly. Because I don't know what your week holds, but maybe your week, this coming week, you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get everything done because this whole week, it's a crazy week for you. Like, how am I going to get it all done? The great thing is, you don't have to worry about the whole week, do you? You have to worry about what God wants you to do today. He puts stuff on your plate today, and he says, all right, with what I put you on your plate today, I want you to trust me and do what I tell you to do and follow me and obey me and do right, and we can go to bed and put our head on the pillow tonight and go to sleep and trust God. And then tomorrow morning, we get up and we worry about tomorrow, when tomorrow comes. Problem is, oftentimes we worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, and it's I'm not sure, I don't know. And then we get these problems with stress and the frustrations inside of us, and we get panicked, and then we complain to God, and we miss the test. We fail it because we're not trusting God daily, which is God reminded us. He says, I want you to trust me for your daily bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to trust him spiritually like they needed to trust him daily with their physical food. Verse 28. Observe verse 29. See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread for 2 days. Abide every man in his place, and let no man go out of his place, so the people rest on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name of the place, called the name thereof manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generation, that you may see the bread whereof I have fed you in the wilderness, which I brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up for the Lord to be kept for your generation. So, interesting thing. God said to Moses, I know it only lasts one day, but I want you to go get a jar, put it in a jar, put a little bit in a jar of manna, keep it there, and I'm going to let that remain for the rest of your generation here in the wilderness and even further on. And eventually they took that and they put it in the Ark of the Covenant when they built that later on, and they carried it around, and it was a promise. It was a reminder to them. And Aaron commanded Moses and said, take it up before the testimony be kept. Verse 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth part of an ephah. And so God reminds us there that God had made a promise to take care of them. Because where they're at, they're near the Red Sea, and there's going to be some more sources of water there and some more sources of food, but God was going to take them through the wilderness. Remember, it's a two-week journey. God's plan was to take them, that two-week journey was going to take 2 years. It took them 2 years to get to Kadesh Barnea. When they got to Kadesh Barnea, God's going to tell them to go into the promised land, and they're going to say no. They're going to fail another test. We don't think, God, that you are powerful enough to fix this problem for us. So we're going to say no. You've been there? I've been there. Where God puts a problem in my life or a problem in your life, and it's easy for us to say, you know what, God, I do believe that God did the Red Sea crossing. You know, I'm sure there's nobody here that really struggles with, I'm not so sure that that's true. You know, I think maybe it was just a little tiny stream. It wasn't really a river. I don't know how we killed them all, the Egyptians, in that little tiny stream. But we try to explain away the miracles. No, we don't do that. We believe it. We say, I fully believe in the Word of God. I believe that God did help them to cross the Red Sea. I believe that God created by speaking, and it took him 6 days. You know, I believe that. I believe the miracles that God did with David, where there was this giant named Goliath, and David goes out and he kills him with the rock and the sling. You know, we believe that. It's not hard for us to believe that. You know what's hard for me to believe? When there's a problem in my life, and I look at this problem that's not nearly as big as the Red Sea crossing, but I tend to murmur at God. I tend to think, you know, how in the world are you going to fix this one? Or like they said, I don't really think God loves me. I don't think God cares about me. Because if he did, then I wouldn't have this problem in my life. And every one of us has problems in our lives. Every one of us have difficulties. Every one of us has something in our lives where we tend to question the goodness of God. And we question it because we're in a situation where God is proving us. And you know, not every one of us, not any one of us, goes through the exact same trial. Everyone here, if I were to ask everyone, tell me what your trial is right now, every one of us would have a story to tell. And everyone would be different. Because God, his plan is to work out the worldliness out of my life. To work out the lack of trust in my life. He wants me to surrender to him. He wants me to learn how to trust him so that when a difficulty comes into my life, my immediate reaction is to do what Moses did and to pray. And say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I'm going to follow you. I'm scared to death because I'm not sure what you're doing, but I know you do. Kind of like when the disciples got out in that boat and God sent them into the Sea of Galilee, and that storm came, and they're throwing everything overboard, except there were 12 baskets of food there. And they didn't throw them over, because that was their food. If they lived, that was going to eat that. And that was left over from when God fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes, and he divided up, and God said, that was a test. So here's the cheat sheet. Get in that boat, and every one of you 12 disciples, I want you to carry a little basket of food. What's the food for? Is it to eat? Not really. I mean, you can eat it if you want, but it's bigger than that. It's a test. Keep your eye on the basket. And they all took the baskets, and they set them aside, and they get in the boat, and they go to the other side, and here's the storm. And the storm is just raging like crazy, and they're scared to death. And no doubt the Holy Spirit's saying, look at the baskets. Look at the baskets. I see the baskets. What about the baskets? Didn't God just do a miracle? He did, but he can't do this one. And then they see Jesus walking on the water. And Peter says, if that's you, Lord, can I do that too? And so Peter steps out while the other ones are making fun of him. Like, you can't walk on water. And he starts walking on water. Like he can walk on water. There's not another one of them that said, let me do it too, Lord. Everybody did that. Because why? They said, well, I think Peter can walk on water, but I don't think I could walk on water. And Peter was good. as long as his eyes were on the Lord, right? But when he looked around and he saw the wind and the waves, he said, I can't walk on water. I'm a human being. And he began to sink. And then God grabbed his hand and he walked him back to the boat and they got in. And it was a test. It was a test. Are you going to trust me? Because you're going to live the rest of your lives telling people to trust me. But you're in a storm and you're doubting me. God wants us for the rest of our lives to be telling other people, you know what, there's one person that can get you through difficulties in this life, and it's Jesus Christ. And if you and I can't trust him with our problems, how are we going to tell anybody else to trust him? And so God wants us to learn from the Hebrews here, as they failed God over and over and over again. God didn't record that so that we could look back and say, those were stupid people. They were people just like us. They weren't stupid. They just had a hard time trusting God in their difficulties. And if there was a story written about me and recorded for the world to see, people would be making fun of me and be saying, how stupid could he be? And he was a pastor. You know why? Because we're all facing those same things. It's a constant battle. Am I going to trust God? Am I going to believe who he says he is? Some of the songs we just sang about? Are we going to truly follow it and live it and believe it? Or are we going to doubt? Because again, these Hebrews, it was a two-week journey that God intended to take 2 years because he wanted to get Egypt out of them before they went into the promised land. It took him 40 years to get Egypt out of them. In fact, so much so that they had to die because they wouldn't let Egypt come out of them. And God's plan for my life is to continue to get Egypt or the world out of me. And when he gets the world out of my life, there's joy and peace. And things are going well until God says, I hate to tell you this, but there's more worldliness in your life that I didn't deal with before. Now I need to deal with it. It's not that we got more. It's just that it's there. It's insidious. It's part of who we are. And God wants to continue to weed it out of our lives and get it out. God reminds us in the New Testament that godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness and murmuring don't go together. Godliness and complaining don't go together. Godliness and contentment are great gain. It's under what your trials are. It really doesn't matter whether I know what your trials are or anybody else knows. You know what your trials are. Some of the trials that you're facing are just internal. Nobody else sees them or knows them. But we face trials. We face difficulties. We face situations where we murmur to God. And remember, it's a test. Question is, are you going to pass the test? Are you going to trust God and follow him and go back and say, you know, I believe the word of God. Is everything about God is true. I believe it. Do we believe it just about the people in the Old Testament, the New Testament, or do we believe it that God is the same God and he's still working in your life and in my life today and he wants to demonstrate who he is? Let's continue to trust God. And as we leave today, there's a good chance that there's going to be a test. But guess what? We have the answers. It's all here. God reminds us we can trust him. If you're saved, he loves you. He cares about you. He doesn't want anything to happen in your life to cause you to turn from him. So if there's problems, it's to turn you toward him, not away from him. So let's learn the lessons and let's trust God and let's let this text be something that will be used in our lives to grow in our walk with God. Father, we thank you for your willingness to be patient with us because, Lord, every one of us, we fail you from time to time like the Hebrews did. Lord, it's so easy to revert back to a complaining and a murmuring spirit. But Lord, that's not what you're looking for in our lives. You're looking for a joyous temperament. One that, like the writer James tells us, that we can count it all joy when we're in diverse temptations. Because the trying of our faith worketh patience. So, Lord, we come before you today with our difficulties. And I trust, Lord, that we would lift them up to you. And that we would be willing to allow you to do your work in our lives. That we would let you have your perfect work. Lord, as James tells us, when we're not sure what you're doing, we can ask you. And you want to teach us. So, Lord, may we pass the test that you have for us today. And may we get up tomorrow morning and spend time in the Word of God and ask where we're to go tomorrow. And may we live not by bread, but by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn, if you would, to 202. Amazing Grace. Why don't we stand as we sing? Let's sing verse number 3.